our teachers and our mentors and our friends and our confidants and our loved ones through the years. There are many people, as I look out over this audience, who we love dearly, who literally mean the world to us. And there's no way to express our deepest gratitude and appreciation and how thankful I am to get to be with you on this special day for our time together. I would invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been asked to discuss texts from 2 Timothy, from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And we talked about glory from 1 Timothy in the Bible class hour. And now we're going to look at some words from Paul in 2 Timothy, and then we'll look at Titus in the afternoon service. It is not the first time that he had faced death. He had looked at it eye to eye, and in all the previous times, he was experiencing what we might call, if it had happened, an untimely death. It wasn't his time yet. And when we think about time, we know in our own way that there is not necessarily an imaginable time that we can figure out in our lives. I remember being on a plane one time, flying from Dallas to a meeting, and I was sitting next to a fellow on the airplane, and he said, are you afraid to fly? And I said, no, I fly a lot. I'm not afraid. And he said, I used to be afraid, but I decided one day that I would no longer be afraid. He said, I figured out if it was my time to go, it's my time to go. And I said, well, it might be your time, but not mine. Sometimes it might not be our time. But when we start thinking about it, you know, when we get close to a deadline, have you ever noticed how it changes our behavior? Maybe you've thought about a term paper that is due, you know, those last few days right before it's due, you really get to work, or you've got your finals and you study right up to the last minute, or maybe it's a project that you've been working on at work. When we get close to a deadline, it can make us change the way we feel. It can make us change our behavior. My little first grade granddaughter at Christmas time was thinking about trying to impress Santa, I'm sure. And so she said to her mother one day, Mom, is there anything I can do to help you? My daughter said, when I got off the floor, having fainted, I said, no. She said, Mom, I'll do anything. I'll do the dishes. She said, I will vacuum the floors. I will clean the kitchen. I will clean my room. Mom, if you want me to, I will even advertise on babysitters.com. I don't know where that came from. But we change our behavior sometimes. So Paul is telling us that his time is near. And if you look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. It's my time. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Because of that, I know there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, but not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. Every one of us in this room today is terminal. Every one of us. 100% of the people who are gathered together today will face death unless Jesus comes again. In fact, the latest polling information is out, and the polls state that we're all going to die. Every one of us. None of us are exempt. None of us can bypass this appointment unless Jesus Christ decides to return. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, we are told that we cannot hold back the departing of our spirit from us. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. This is an appointment that we will all keep. So the question isn't if we are going to die. The question now becomes when we are going to die. Because we are going to die, just as Paul was facing death. And the Bible says the Lord has numbered our days. The problem is he doesn't reveal to us on the calendar how many of those days we have left. He knows the number, but we don't know the number. But I can tell you one thing for certain. Your number is closer today than it was yesterday. And if you live tomorrow, it'll be a day closer tomorrow than it was today. Here's something else we can know based upon Scripture. When it comes to numbering our days, there is no negotiating. There's no bartering. There's no borrowing someone else's day. There are some things that you can't borrow. We can't borrow somebody else's relationship with Jesus. We can't borrow somebody else's gifts or talents. We can't borrow somebody else's soul. And we certainly can't borrow somebody else's days. And when this same Paul is standing on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he says that God has determined the boundaries of our habitation. What he means by that is God has set a time. God knows the number of the day that we're going to pass. God knows when that will be. The question is not, does God know? The question is, are we prepared for that day? What if you knew today? What if you were in Paul's shoes? What if you knew that the time of your departure was at hand? What if you knew that you didn't have many days left? Let's just imagine, what if you knew you had 1 month left to live? And if you could be guaranteed that in 1 month from now, you would not exist on the face of the earth anymore. I want to ask you a question. Would it change anything about your life? Is there anything that you would do different? Is there somebody you need to call on the phone and say, we need to fix this relationship? Is there somebody you need to visit? Is there something that you need to do about your relationship with God? Is there a decision that you need to make? What would you do different if you knew that your time was at hand? Because the truth is, someday, 1,000 years from now, we will all still be alive. We will be alive somewhere, and we will be alive forever. Let that word sink in for just a moment. Forever. That's what James is saying, what he has in mind in James chapter 4, verse 14, when he says, what is your life? It's like a vapor or a mist. It appears on the scene for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. And the Bible teaches us something else that is very important. It teaches us, and this is something that all of us need to know, it teaches us that the choices and the decisions that we make right now in our life will have a defining impact, not only for the rest of the time that we are here on the earth, but for the rest of eternity. The decisions that you are making in your life right now will have a defining impact on how you will live the rest of your life and throughout eternity. There is a link between the here and now and the there and then. And we need to remember that. Now, all of us rejoice and we're thankful that Jesus invaded time and he invaded history. And by his death on the cross, he has made possible for us the blessing to be able to live with him throughout eternity. That's our goal. That's our purpose. We want to be with him forever and ever and ever. When we are alive 1,000 years, 5,000, 1,000,000 years from now, we want to be alive with him. We want to be in his presence. We want to be singing praises, giving glory to God. That is our goal in life. So he came on this earth to die on the cross so that we can live. He came to die so that we can live. But may I suggest to you today that that is not the only reason that Jesus came. He did not come just to die, but he also came to show all of us how we should live our lives. And so Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ. Paul would say, you have people in Philippians chapter 3 who can serve as examples for you, and you are to follow them if they're following in the steps of Jesus. And so Jesus came not just to die on the cross, but to teach us how to live. And in that idea of Jesus teaching us how to live, he says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't have to tell you, because you know, you've witnessed it, you've seen it, maybe you've experienced it, that there's something different than just living life and living an abundant life. There's something different. It's not the same. I remember in a graduate class, Brother Hugo McCord talking about God creating mankind in Genesis chapter 1. And he talked about how God gave man a soul. He gave man a spirit. But even then, when man had a soul or spirit, he did not come alive until God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so there's a soul, but then there's a living soul that God created when he gave us life. And Jesus says, I don't want you to just live. I want you to live the abundant life. there are people all around us every single day of our life who are just existing. They live from day to day. They get up in the morning and they go to work and they work all day and they come home and they do work around their place and then they go to bed at night and they sleep a few hours and they get up the next morning and they go to work and they work all day and they come home and work around their place and go to sleep and, well, you know the story. It's the same old, every single day. They do the same thing every day of their life. And Jesus says, I've come so that that is not the way you have to live. I've come so that you can have abundant life, an overflowing life, something better than just existence. I want you to really enjoy life. I want you to live life to the fullest. Now, to be honest, some of us would say our life has never been more full. We're full of stuff, full of things. Our schedule is full. Our time is full. Our stomachs are full. But what about our life? What about your life today? Is your life full today? Are you living the abundant life? Are you living life to the fullest? So we know that someday we're going to be in Paul's shoes and we're going to say, the time of my departure is at hand. What if it was a month from now? What would you do between this day and that day to prepare yourself for eternal life? How would you live the abundant life now so that you can have the eternal life then? I want to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Paul, I believe, gives us a little help here. This same man who had said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a fight. I'm ready. I'm already being poured out. I know this is it. This is not going to be a premature death. Paul is probably an older gentleman now, and he knows the time is here. So Paul gives us some help. In Romans chapter 13, notice with me verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. And we'll come back and talk about that in just a moment. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So Paul is already, by the time he writes Romans chapter 13, he's already thinking about it. He's thinking about that your salvation is nearer now than it was the day that you believed. He's thinking about the fact that the time is at hand. And what Paul understood is something that all of us need to understand today, that time could be sooner than we think. What difference would it make in the way that we treat our children, in the way that we deal with our mates, in the way that we treat one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord? How would we react to situations differently than we do now? What would we do to curb our anger and our resentment and our feelings of bitterness toward the church because of something that happened in your life years and years ago, or something that somebody did that you respect and you love, and they handled it in the wrong way and they didn't act like you expected them to act? What would you do? Just a couple of things I find in this verse. If I want to live the abundant life now, and if I want to live with Him throughout eternity, I must develop in my life a sense of urgency. I must understand that this could be a month-long process, and that's it. I spoke with a friend just a couple of days ago, and they said, the doctor has said that I might have 3 weeks left. 3 weeks. What if that was you on the other end of the call? Would you live your life with a sense of urgency? Listen to the urgency in Paul's voice as he writes in verse 11, do this. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour. He's calling on us to live with a sense of urgency. We know that we have a limited number of days here on this earth. We know that intellectually. We know that in our mind. We know that the scriptures teach us that. But we often act like we're going to be here forever. We act like that we've got all the time in the world. We live in a kind of denial. We don't want to talk about our own mortality. But the reality is that since we began this worship service, more than 5,000 people in this world have gone to meet their Maker. 5,000. 107 people die in our world every minute. More than 6,300 people die on this earth every hour. More than 150,000 people die every single day. And 56 million people will die in our world this year. Are you living with a sense of urgency? It's so easy for us to become complacent. And how many of us will get to the end of our days and wonder, what happened? What did I do? I believe one of the most dangerous words in the English language is the word someday. Someday. Someday I'll make things right with my family. Someday I'll call my parents and tell them I'm sorry. Someday I'll talk to my children about what I need to talk to them about most. Someday I'll talk to that friend that I've been working beside over and over and over again every day, and I've never said anything to them about the Lord. Someday. Here's the problem with someday. Someday robs us of this day. Why not this day? Remove someday from your calendar. Get it off your reminder on your phone. Think about this day, not someday, but this day, today. You see, living with a sense of urgency doesn't mean that we'll live faster and busier. We all know we don't need to do any more of that. We already live busy lives and fast lives. Frantic does not equal urgent. To live with a sense of urgency means to live with an understanding that we are not promised, we are not guaranteed a someday, we're not even guaranteed a tomorrow. We know that life is fragile. We know that it's uncertain. We know that it's out of our control. We know that the past is gone. We can't retrieve it. We can't relive it. But all of us know people who are trying to live in their past. They're always looking in the rearview mirror. As followers of Jesus, we know we've got to let go of the past. In Matthew 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, starting about verse 27, Jesus tells us, be sure and remember that you don't have the promise of tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow. Just think about today, this day. Tomorrow has enough worries by itself. David said a long time ago in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Embrace today. Do what you can today, because tomorrow is never promised. Don't live in the past, but don't worry about the future. Make that call today. Write that note today. Speak that word of encouragement. Speak life-giving words rather than life-taking words today. If we want to live the abundant life now and in eternity, we need to live with a sense of urgency. But Paul also tells us here that we need to live with a sense of eternity. Now, wait a minute, Jeff. You just talked about, don't worry about tomorrow. How do these two mesh? How do we get together thinking about today and thinking about eternity? I suggest to you that as much as it is a mistake to take for granted today, it is even a bigger mistake to take eternity for granted. So while we embrace today, we should never, ever, ever think that today is all there is. But a lot of Christians live like today is all that there is. They live like there's nothing beyond the here and now. So we need to make sure that we don't become so consumed with the good life now that we forget about the better life in eternity, the more important life in eternity. But Paul says, if you'll look back at our text, notice again in verse 11, do this knowing the time, that the hour is already here. And then look what he says, awaken from your sleep. The first time I read that, I thought Paul must have been preaching when he said that. To the church. Wake up. Some of you need to wake up and listen. Maybe he's saying, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying, wake up from your sleep. So he says, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Is it possible that there's somebody here today who needs to be concerned about your salvation? Is it possible I'm speaking to somebody who has never committed your life to Jesus Christ? You've never repented of your sins and been immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. You've never come in contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible speaks of salvation in three senses. It speaks of our past, our present, and our future. There are technical terms that are used to define that. The Bible talks about justification. That's a moment in time in our life when we were justified by God. When our sins were forgiven, we were washed in the blood of Jesus. That's the past. It's an event that occurred at one day, one point in your life. You remember that day, don't you? Oh, what a day that was. If you can't remember that day, you need to do something about it on this day. But the Bible speaks of our life in the present. So the Bible talks about being holy as God is holy, walking in the light as He is in the light. The Bible talks about being sanctified, making sure that we're living every day, that we're walking according to the pattern that God has given us. And then the Bible talks about our salvation in the future. We call that glorification. So you've got justification, sanctification, and glorification. Someday, just as Christ has been glorified, we also will be glorified. We'll be given a new body. Now, there's just some good news, isn't it? Aren't you looking for that day? I've found the older I get, the more I hurt. Places I didn't know I had, I hurt. I wake up in the morning and I'm hurting. I've got a friend, he says, I wake up and I feel like I have a night full of sleep injuries. You know why? Because God didn't build this body to last forever. And while we have it, we need to understand that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God who is in us. And we need to do our best to take care of this body. But we're not going to have it forever, and you can't delay the time, the day of your death, and someday this body's going to decay and wear out. But according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to give us a new body. It won't be like this body. I don't know what it'll be like, but it won't be like this. I know that 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, it doesn't yet appear what we will be like when he appears, but we know this, that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Someday you'll be in a glorified state like Jesus. The Bible speaks of our salvation in the future. In Romans 13, Paul is saying the completion of your salvation. When Paul says the day of your salvation is closer now than it was from the day you believed, he is saying the completion of your salvation is closer today than it has ever been before. In other words, you need to understand that you're passing away and you need to live like you're dying. It would be a tragedy not to be prepared for what we are rushing toward. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I'm pleading with you today, if you've never become united with Jesus, to make that step. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul tells us, don't look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are eternal. And then one other thing, and I'll close. If we're going to live this life, the abundant life now, in view of eternity, we need to live with a sense of priority. We need to have a sense of urgency, a sense of eternity, and a sense of priority. So look at what he says in verse 12. The night is almost gone. It is so interesting. You want to do an interesting Bible study? Look at the different ways the Bible uses the term night. There's a beautiful passage in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is still day, for the night is coming when no man will be able to work. I don't mean to be ugly, but some of you are pretty close to that right now, right? You're getting close to where you can't do anything anymore. We've got a gentleman who sits on the third row in our congregation every service. He's there every time the doors are open. And this month, he will be 103 years old. I love Brother Brookwell. And he came to me one day and he said, "I want to apologize because I can't do the things I used to do." I said, "Are you kidding? You're one of the greatest examples I've ever known. Look at you. Look at you. Some of you who are here today have given your life completely to God, your whole life. Look at you." And God is waiting. And then Paul concludes by saying, "Because the day is near, because the time is at hand, there's some things we need to put off and there's some things we need to put on. So let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." And whatever you want to say about what the scriptures teach about what we're to put off and what we're to put on, and that language is used in other places in scripture, this is the bottom line right here. This is it. As you prepare for that day, which is almost near, the time is at hand, the day is moving quickly, the night is almost, when you're preparing for that, you need to get rid of darkness and clothe yourself in the light of Jesus Christ. And everything about your life needs to scream to the world and to the church that you belong to Jesus. Everything about me needs to say to the world, I belong to Jesus. And I don't have to tell everybody. I don't have to brag about it. I don't have to boast. I don't have to talk about what I've done or what I'm doing. I don't have to be braggadocious. I don't have to do all of that. I just have to live a life that says to the world, I belong to Jesus. And if you're living that life right now, you can say the same words that Paul said. Time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And because of that, I know that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me in heaven. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Are you ready? Are you living every single day of your life, not just for the here and now, but for the there and then? Are you living every day with a sense of urgency, a sense of eternity, and a sense of priority? What is first in your life? Who is first in your life? If it's not Jesus, will you make that change right now? Don't say someday anymore. Get that off your calendar. Think about this day. Giving your life to Jesus. And if you believe that he's the Son of God, if you believe that he is who he said he is, and that he will do what he claimed he would do, and if you will give him your life, repentance, and you confess his name and be immersed, he will give you not just a new day, but a new life and a new eternity. And that can be yours today, on this day. So wake up on this day. If you're a Christian and you've been putting it off. You've been putting off changing your life and making those corrections that you need to make in your life and doing some things that you need to do. Don't spoil this day by saying, I'll do it someday. If we can help you in response to Jesus, I invite you to come while we stand together and while we sing this song.